Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
A message that I think is super important for all of us to hear, myself included. This has been something that has convicted me over recent months. I wanted to share it. I'm excited to share it. But it requires a bit of understanding of how our relationship with God works. Understanding that He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our commander. He is our God, the one true God. He is in charge and above all things. And we are not worthy of any of it. But by His grace and mercy, we can receive it. And we just need to understand that as we go into this. Because when we look at Scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, that's where we're going to start this morning. We're going to dabble into the Old Testament a little bit and into the New Testament and talk about this and what we need to do as Christians. There's something very specific that we need to do, a perspective shift that we need to have in our daily lives and what this looks like. In Romans 12, 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The importance of do not conform to the ways of this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the mind, we know from other places in Scripture that talk about that if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery in his heart. And so understanding that in our mind is where sin can immediately start, beyond us doing anything outside of the body. It can start in here, and that's why it's so important for the renewing of our mind. And other places in Scripture that talk about taking captive every thought, right? And it talks about how important this aspect is. And in Philippians 4:8, it even instructs us on what we are to focus on. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Because we can't just go around living our Christian life trying not to sin. It's a recipe for failure. If we just focus on the sin and not doing something, remember, your hands will still be idle because all you're trying to do is not do something. But if you find something to do, focus on the right things to do, then you no longer have the idle hands. You no longer have the time and the space to continuously just focus on, well, not sinning today. How about you wake up and not think about, well, I hope I don't sin today. How about we wake up and say, okay, where is my Bible? Let me go read it and do what we are supposed to do. You see, when we put our faith into action, that is where transformation can truly happen. We can be transformed in our mind and our perspective can shift. But see, there's this problem in this. There's a problem with our perspective on sin and the thoughts in our life. But just before we get to that, let's read Ephesians chapter 4. This is going to be a larger section of Scripture, and I'm going to emphasize certain parts of the way, so bear with me. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Huh. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Big section of scripture, but it's extremely important because it's telling us what the transformation of our mind, the renewing of our mind, what it looks like, what we are to do. How we act about sin against when people do sinful things to us, but it's also very intricately detailing how we handle our thought life. Because it is very easy to see somebody else's actions, hear their words, even if they don't directly affect you, but especially if they affect you, that you will pick that up and hold on to it for who knows how long. It will make you angry, it'll make you bitter, it'll make you resentful. I'm guilty of it. You pick something up that you have no need in picking up, whether it be the offense for yourself or for someone else. And you hang on to this, and now it starts to rule our thought life, and it starts to become part of who we are, and we can justify it by saying, well, I just want to see justice done, as if justice is the overarching thing. It's not right what they did. So two wrongs do make a right. For me to do what is not beneficial to myself, because me dwelling on that is not thinking about what is noble. It's not thinking about what is lovely, what is admirable, what is pure. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, as it said in Philippians, right? Me hanging on to what so-and-so said and did that caused this offense, all of a sudden it stays trapped in our mind. I have said this exact phrase so many times to my wife, to my mom, to my sister, to other people. I have said, do not concern yourself and waste your time hanging on to the opinions of demons. And I'm not calling that person a demon. But the attack from the enemy and understanding the darker spiritual ramifications of things going on is what they are doing is demonic activity by slandering, gossiping, causing drama, speaking in anger, doing things that they are doing that are now causing division, that are now causing a kerfuffle, I don't know, that's causing this issue, and now you tripped and stumbled into the mess that they are creating. It's not their fault you stumbled into it. It's your fault that you stumbled into it. Yeah, they did a wrong thing, but it is your choice to steer clear. Are you telling me if you're driving down the road and you see a car accident in front of you, you're just going to ram into the car accident? No. You're going to stop. Well, it's their fault for crashing in front of me. No, it's not. It was your choice. So when you look at what is going on in front of you, do not concern yourself with the opinions of demons. Don't concern yourself with the opinions of things that do not matter. You waste your time thinking about this, causing strife in your own life, anger, bitterness, resentment. Guess what? People are always going to comment on how you lived your life. Nobody. Who is happy in their own life makes comments about others. They're unhappy in their own life making comments on everybody else's. That scripture verse that I read that talks about those who are stealing should stop stealing from others. It's not just talking about tangible physical goods. It's talking about they're trying to steal from you. You've heard the phrase, make somebody else shorter so it makes you taller. They're trying to steal from them. Talk bad about them so their persona, so that their who they are looks bad to other people and they will look more righteous. Don't concern yourself with the opinions of demons. Don't concern yourself with these opinions and allow them to lead you astray and lead you into sin. And don't justify it either. People are always going to comment. They're always going to criticize. You've seen what they celebrate. Why would you care what they criticize? Be honest. If you're living for the Lord and you're living your best, it doesn't mean all criticism in our life is demonic activity. No. I'm not saying this to insulate you from good advice or conviction or things that you're to be instructed to become better. No, I'm not. Do not insulate yourself like that. You will become a Pharisee. But understand what I'm saying is the wasteful time we spend up here creating a problem that doesn't need to exist, because we are devoting ourselves to ourselves and the world and how people look at me and how people see me. Why would I care if they think I'm a lizard? Why would I care what they say about the vehicle I drive or how I teach my kids or how I treat my wife, as long as I'm treating her correctly? Obviously, if you don't use this to justify bad behavior. But the point I'm making is that if we are living according to God's word as best of our abilities, and people are going to comment and criticize and say everything that they want to do, why are you wasting your time? Because, see, there's this thing that happens when our mind gets fixated on thoughts of other people's opinions. You know what else that's a sign of? That's a sign of we care about the opinions of this world and beyond, and all of a sudden, our life is not devoted entirely to God. We are showing that we are a slave to two masters. In reality, we're a slave to one, because you can't be a slave to both. If you're a slave to this world, you can't be a slave to the Lord. And this is where this common thing that I've seen lately in the last year, I don't know the original pastor that created this thought and talked about it. I've seen other pastors talk about it, and I'm going to reference it. It talks about the three things that a Christian can do with this world, the things of this world, customs, traditions, actions, ways of life, such and such. The first is you can receive what it has. Certain things, customs, traditions, you can receive it with no filter, nothing. It's just, all right, we receive it. Think about it like this. It is customary that we, this day and age, that the culture that we have, the way the workplace is structured, and women working, right? Because in the old days, women didn't work, right? So all of a sudden, as customs and things have changed, women now have jobs. So guess what? We receive that. We don't filter that through Scripture. We just look at it and say, okay, cool. We have no problem. We receive that, right? Then the second thing we could do is we can redeem something. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, Madre. We redeem something. Think about something this world has done that is evil, but then us as Christians can take it and turn it into good, right? Think about certain holidays. People will take them and redeem them, right? Think about the movie industry. The movie industry is used to propagate all sorts of propaganda, sexualization, worldly sinful things. But then you get Christian movie studios who try to redeem the art of movies, right? Spread a Christian message. So we can receive what the world has and just receive it as is. We can redeem it, change it. Or third, we can just reject it. Reject it completely. And this pastor talks about this, that is the way we need to view things of this world and the way that it is. And so when we do this, we will look at ways of this world and ways of this life, and all of a sudden we start to have to battle this inner decision. Because if it's a gray area and Scripture's not devoutly saying that's wrong or that's right, this is where the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And conviction is not your personal belief, but it is what the Lord is instilling in you through the Holy Spirit. Understand. Turned on a movie last night, immediately felt gross, sick to my stomach. I was like, I didn't think it was going to be a bad movie, but all of a sudden, just right at the get-go, I felt the Lord speak to me, the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, do you want to welcome this into your house? And I turned it off. An example of conviction. This isn't all holy as thou. It's just the first example I could think of. You see, that's how conviction works. It wasn't Brock's personal opinion. It was, I clearly felt the Lord speak to me, and so I turn it off. In understanding this, we need to look into now what is the Old Testament. There's this word in the Hebrew. This word, it has become one of my favorite words as I have learned about this. It is called cherem, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. C-H-E-R-E-M. It's so cool. It's such a cool word. It's cooler than your favorite word. Why? Because it has two meanings that are symbiotic yet completely different. Completely different. So you have to know what context it's being used in. Because you could get real mixed up. And once I tell you the definition of this, you would understand why you would not want to mix these two things up. The first meaning is to devote completely to God. Second meaning, to completely and utterly destroy. Two very different things. Lord says, hey, cherem over something. All of a sudden you destroy it. Well, no, I meant to devote it to me, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. That made me laugh. But when you think of the Old Testament, it's like, whoops, there goes that town. No, that was supposed to be a chosen place. Oh, my bad. Oh, sorry, little dark humor. But the reality is this, is that there's examples in the Old Testament of cherem where they did need to destroy an entire kingdom, people group. That's what they did. God commanded it. Nothing left over. Except for the gold and the silver you can take, and Rahab and her family can be granted mercy. But everything else destroyed, completely cut off, no excuses, nothing, not even a crumb of their bread. Let it be completely destroyed. And then other things that were completely devoted to God, that literally nobody could argue, nobody could change anything about it, nobody could deal with it, nothing. The most extreme of devotion and the most extreme of destruction laid out in one word. So now, when we look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Some of you today will be too conceited to hear what I am saying. You think that you have your life figured out and you're on a good track. You need a Savior, and our Savior is calling us to crucify our flesh. Have you seen the movie Passion of the Christ? Have you been able to watch the crucifixion scene with eyes wide open the entire time? Have you been able to understand what crucify really means? It was believed that he had one third of his entire body circumference ripped from his body as he was beaten, tortured, mocked, and nailed to the cross. Do you understand that is what he is saying you are to do with your flesh? Let me tie this to what I was talking about earlier. The thoughts in your mind. Let us take cherem. If we are to be devoted to God, we need to destroy what is not. Cherem goes beyond just destruction of random things. It is destruction of things that are irredeemable. Your sin is not redeemable. And what I mean by that is, you can be redeemed of your sin, but that action will always be sin. That action does not somehow become holy. That action is irredeemable. So you need to look at the sin in your life, which starts here, and start to declare cherem. Complete destruction. Nothing left over. Be done with it. Burn it to the ground. Scorched earth over your sin and the thoughts that lead to your sin and the thoughts that lead to you being devoted to this world and the opinions of people instead of devoted to God. Cherem. Cherem. Complete and utter destruction. If my left hand causes me to sin, cut it off. Cherem. Stop playing nice with yourself, giving yourself excuses, giving yourself reasons why it's okay, justifying what is unjustifiable, justifying what is irredeemable. He died on the cross for you, not to make sin not sin. Sin is sin, and it always will be. You need to eradicate it from your life as if it's the plague, because it's worse than that, but apparently we don't get it. And we play games. We treat it like a pet. We hide it in the closet. We make reasons why, well, it's okay if I do this because it's not as bad as this, and da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? It starts up here. Starts in the mind. Why the renewing of our mind is so important. Because we need to start looking at the thoughts in our mind, and we need to start declaring cherem. I need to devote my mind completely and fully to God. So I need to take the things that are not of God and destroy them completely. Nothing left over. This is pretty extreme. You bet. We are literally behind enemy lines. Our home is in heaven. As long as we are on this earth, we are behind enemy lines. And if we were behind enemy lines in an actual physical war with pew-pews and things like that, you bet we'd be strict. You bet we wouldn't just go wandering around. You bet you would not take a wife from the enemy. You bet that you would not take in their customs. You bet you would not celebrate what they celebrate. You bet you wouldn't do any of that. Because you know what is right, and you're fighting for what is right. So stop dabbling, stop excusing, stop justifying. Get serious. Get strict. Get passionate about this. It's called lukewarm, what we're doing. We are not called to be that. He will never know us in the end if we do that. So we need to get it right and understand cherem. People read the Old Testament and can be horrified. How could they wipe out an entire city, every generation within it? Everything in it. Irredeemable, it is said. There are parts of us that are irredeemable. Our flesh. Quit trying to redeem your flesh. You are called to crucify it. Not redeem it. Let us not miss that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Didn't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Some of you, because you do not take it serious, you do not understand the intensity and the gravity of the situation, that you need to declare cherem over the sin in your life and the thoughts that lead you there, you will be disqualified after you try to preach the gospel. You will be lukewarm and he will never know you. Though you preach the gospel, that's well and good, but not if you don't understand it yourself and enact it in your life. Yes, I can repeat exactly what is in here, but if I don't love it, I don't get to the other side. If I don't live it, I don't get to the other side. Cherem. The intensity of the situation. Understand, I'm not yelling at you because I'm angry. I'm yelling because I get passionate. I should have brought that disclaimer up before. I've said it before, but if anybody new is here, understand. It's because when Brock gets excited, volume goes up. I don't know why. It's just how I am. I'm not mad. Yes, just to clarify, I didn't want anybody in here thinking, wow, this guy is ticked this morning. Get to... He must have went through when the coffee was gone. No, it's just who I am. I just get excited, you know. I promise I'm not transforming into something. Okay. Yeah, it is what it is. But the gravity and intensity of the situation, understanding what is at stake, we need to train. We need to be serious. We need to transform and change ourselves. And we need to treat it so extremely, run in such a way to win. I was raised by Randy Williamson, and he always told me, we don't do anything for fun, we do it to win. And that is something that has stuck with me to this day. It is why some of the guys in here who have played pickup football with me understand that it's just let me be quiet. Just let me be quiet while we play. Because that's the only way that I'm not going to take it too serious. The laughing and the joking, ha ha, good, good, good. The last time we played pickup football, I loved it. I loved it. I play wide receiver. I love it. I'm a diva, that's why, okay? And so, for those that know wide receivers in the NFL, right? Okay, anyway. But no, I love playing wide receiver, and we played pickup football last time. We had a big group of guys, and Joe Uecker was on my team, and he was playing quarterback. And he's throwing the ball over, he's throwing it to people. We're at that point, I think we were winning, or it was tied or something. We did end up winning, most important. But and it's a group of guys from the church that I just invited kind of last minute. Let's go play pickup football. And we're playing, and all of a sudden we're coming back down from a drive, and Joe just says, hey, does anybody else want to be quarterback? And I was like, I mean, you're doing a great job, Joe. I mean, if you want to not play quarterback, then somebody else could play quarterback. But otherwise, you're doing a great job. And he's like, I'm just not sure that everybody's getting the ball enough. And I said, hey, Joe, with all due respect, save that for kids ministry. I said, I love you, but this is men's football. Act like it. It does not matter. Are we winning or are we not? And that was the one moment where I let the little serious side come out. Other than that, I was trying to laugh and joke around. And Joe looked at me, and he's like, Brock, you could never offend me. Thank you. And then he played quarterback, and we won the game. And so, the point is that there's a certain level you have to get to win. Some of us are just naturally gifted at everything. I look at this guy, because every obscure thing that I've created a competition for men, all of a sudden he's a professional at it. Cornhole, chili cook-off, it does not matter. From golf, I mean, it's unbelievable, all right? So with that, it's some of us are just naturally gifted that we don't have to try and we would just win at everything. Some of us have to try really hard and do this and that and the other. But understand, when it comes to winning, when it comes to dedication to something, to win, to achieve the highest level. Now, this is a worldly perspective, but I'm using a parable here. I'm using a comparison here. If you've ever been great at something, it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but when you look at like the Michael Jordan, why his personal life can be a mess, home life can be a mess, but he's regarded as the greatest of all time. It came at a cost. And now that's the worldly example, but I want you to know something. Your relationship with God and your relationship of pursuit to him and your relationship to win the race that matters, that endures forever, will come at a cost. They will look at your worldly life and they will say, wow, your worldly life was such a failure. Yeah, from the perspective of this world. But I won the race. What mattered? I have heard some of the most foolish fooliganism in my life from people who are telling me that they are preaching the gospel to others, reaching others, yet their life is in shambles and in sin. God cares more about your soul than he does the ministry. Get yourself right with God so that way when you preach the gospel, you will not be disqualified yourself. I'm not saying that preaching the gospel is wrong. Of course, I will never say that. But good golly, get yourself right. Get your sin out of there. Cherem. Destroy every hint of everything that leads to that road, that leads to that path, that leads you down it to utter destruction. Cherem. The thoughts and time you spend thinking about people's opinions and this and that, cherem. You can be civil with people and nice to people, but it doesn't mean you let them into your life like that. If it's causing damage, if it's causing this, people that cause division, we are to avoid. Stop treating your sin. Stop treating the things of this world with kid gloves. Enough. Enough. Get real. Get passionate. Get intense. Let zeal for the Father's house consume you so that you start taking it serious. Scorched earth on your flesh. Scorched earth on sin in your life. Scorched earth on the things that make you trip and stumble. There is grace for you to become more like God. There is not grace for our sin to become not sin. Do we get it? Do we understand that? Because we live like we're, oh, well, God's grace just covers a multitude of sins, meaning it's okay. No, no, no. What are you reading? What are you doing? This is serious. I am waving to you as the bridge ahead is out. That is why I am preaching with this gumption, with this passion, with this intensity, because some of us are not realizing it. We are lukewarm because we are treating our sin as a pet, as if our flesh can be redeemed. Remember, yes, we are redeemed by being dead to our sin and alive in Christ. That is redeemed. Dead to sin. Not let me teach my flesh not to sin. No, crucify it. Kill it. Nothing left. No prisoners. You can stand with me all over this room. Look at that. Done before 11. Great. Well, I guess you're not out of here yet. No. Cherem. I want you to remember that. Two meanings. Completely devoted to God or complete destruction. I believe if we are to be completely devoted to God, we can't avoid complete destruction. We can't. We can't avoid it. We need not avoid it. In fact, we need to embrace it. Suffer well. Because it will be a suffering. It will be a hardship. Our flesh is alive and well right now. For some of us, it's more alive than others, but it is alive and well. And so when you start poking and stabbing and prodding and depleting and starving the flesh, it cries out. It's in pain. It lies. It deceives. So be prepared. Don't trust the enemy. Take no prisoners.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.